hey, listen, your friend, a true friend, is not going to gloss over the wrong things you do in life. They're going to come to you and in love say, listen, you got an issue here. You got a problem here. You need to make some changes here. A true friend rebukes when necessary. Sometimes you need to be forgiven for something that you did that hurt someone. The Bible says a true friend forgives and does not hold grudges. Proverbs 17, verse 9. Sometimes you just need somebody to help you, somebody to come alongside of you and maybe to put their arms around you and to help you in a difficult time. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 says a true friend helps in time of need. Sometimes you need someone to help you grow spiritually. Proverbs 27, 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. You see, the Bible has a lot to say about friendship. We are needy people. And our friends are the ones that God uses to help us. Now, the third reason that friendships are important is that God has designed us to be discerning people. Discernment is the ability to make correct judgments, to be able to tell right from wrong, to be able to choose not just the better thing, but the best thing. One of the biggest problems that we have in life is that we think that if we choose something that's better, that's good. We shouldn't be choosing the better thing. We should be choosing the best thing. Nowhere is discernment needed more than in the area of friends. Now, there's a positive and a negative here that I want to share with you. We need to know the positive things that come out of friendship, but we also need to know the negative things that can come out of a friendship. And so discernment is the key to having the right kind of friends. Listen, not every person deserves to be your friend. Proverbs 12:26 says, the righteous choose their friends carefully. That's discernment. Choose your friends carefully. You need to be discerning because of the influence that friends have in your life. Let's look at the positive things first. The positive things that friends can bring into our lives are things like loyalty. Proverbs 27:9. Friends give pleasant, sincere advice seeking our highest good. When someone is seeking your highest good, that's loyalty. They're not trying to tear you down. They're trying to make you the best person you can be. Jonathan's loyalty to David exceeded his loyalty to his father and even to his own future as the king of Israel. There was a loyalty between Jonathan and David that caused them to put the welfare of the other person ahead of their own. Another positive thing that friends can bring into your life is encouragement. Friends are the ones who will encourage you when you face hardships. Moses was encouraged by Aaron and Hur as Israel battled against the Amalekites. You recall, they set him on a rock and they held up his arms because as long as Moses held up his arms, Israel won. And have you ever tried to hold up your arms for very long? Boy, it doesn't take a few minutes, does it? And you just can't hold them up any longer. And when Moses got tired, his arms came down, the Amalekites began to win. And so Aaron and Hur noticed this and they came and they said, Moses, sit down here, boom. Grabbed an arm and held it up, and they stood there against Moses until Israel won the victory. David was encouraged by Jonathan at this very critical moment in his life. 2 Samuel 19, which happens much later in David's life, he's now the king. He's gone through this terrible conflict with his son Absalom. The Bible records for us in 2 Samuel 19 that King David was encouraged by an old 80-year-old man. And in those days and age, that was old. People didn't live that long back then. And an old man by the name of Barzillai encouraged David at a very critical time in his life. Friends are the ones who will encourage us in the hard times in life. Friends also bring love into our life. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. 1 Samuel 20 and verse 17 says, Jonathan caused David to vow. Now the vow that he wanted David to take was, Jonathan knew at this point that David had been chosen by God to be the king. And Jonathan had no trouble with that. That was God's plan. That was God's will. And Jonathan was ready to step down and play second fiddle to David and support David as the king of Israel. He just wanted one thing. He said, David, he said, when you become king, I just want you to treat my family well. I want you to treat my descendants well. I want you to treat my children, my grandchildren, my great-grand. I want you to vow to me, David, that you won't take out your anger against Saul on my family. And David made that vow. Jonathan caused David to vow because he loved him, for he loved him as his own soul. That's a powerful statement. He loved him as much as he loved himself. I want you to listen. After some years later, Saul went to battle against the enemies of Israel, and Jonathan was with him, and it was the last battle. Saul and Jonathan were both killed in the battle. And David was brokenhearted, and he wrote a rather long song that you'll find in 2 Samuel chapter 2, but I'm just going to read you part of it. How the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. That's a reference to Saul and Jonathan. Mighty because of their position in Israel. How the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. Jonathan was slain in the high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. You have been very pleasant to me. Your love to me was wonderful, surpassing the love of women. How the mighty have fallen. That was a friendship based on love. No one can express love to you like a friend. You see, friends can be a positive influence in your life, but they can also be a negative influence in your life. And on the negative side, they can be, first of all, a bad influence. You see, friends can lead you into sin. Proverbs 12:26 says, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Choose your friends carefully. There are several examples of this in the Bible. David's son Amnon listened to his friends and violated his half-sister Tamar. That led to the death of Amnon at the hands of Absalom, which eventually resulted in war in Israel, a civil war, and the death of Absalom. Solomon's son, remember when Solomon died, his son Rehoboam took the throne, and his young friends, his young counselors, about his own age, influenced him to tax the people even more so that he became even wealthier and richer, and his friends got to enjoy some of that wealth. And because of that, he lost 10 tribes in Israel. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Listen, if you choose the wrong kind of friends, the ones who will be a sinful influence in your life, it is going to drag you down. It's going to affect your standards and the way God has called you to live. Your morals are going to suffer. The wrong kind of friends can ruin your walk with God. The attitude of your friends can also be a negative influence on you in other ways. And one of the ways the Bible talks about is anger. Listen to Proverbs 22. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. One of the most dangerous kinds of friend you can have is someone who is easily angered, someone who cannot control their emotions, someone who lashes out in anger, someone whose normal response to things is anger. Sooner or later, you are going to begin to act just like them. Another area where friends can have a negative influence on us is in the area of sinful practices. The Bible warns us over and over again against people who would entice us to participate in sinful things. Listen to Proverbs chapter 1. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Verse 15. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel it. Turn away from it and pass on, for they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. We are not to associate with people who try to talk us into doing evil things with them, no matter how much you want their friendship. And so friends have a great influence on our lives, both positively and negatively. There is one truth that if you will keep it in mind as you think about your friends, whether they're your current friends that you've known for some time or you're thinking about forming a new friendship with someone, if you will keep this in mind, it will guide you to make the right choices, and that is that friends should edify you. That is, friends should build you up spiritually. One of the things that you need to ask yourself as you look over your friends is the question, are they building me up spiritually? Romans chapter 14 says, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. The things by which one may build up another. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, comfort each other and edify one another. Now, those are general statements that are directed towards churches and the people in the churches, but they apply to all of our relationships and even to the relationships that we have with friends outside the church. A friend is someone who will build you up spiritually and, by the way, someone that you can build up spiritually. And if you use that guideline in the area of friendships, then you'll have the kind of friends that God wants you to have. Now, we've gone through a lot of passages of Scripture this morning, and I did that because I want you to see that God has a plan for your life, even in what we would consider the ordinary things, the common things of life in areas like friendships. God has a plan for the people that you should allow into your life as confidants, as friends, as people that you get close to. For anyone who does not know Jesus, the greatest friend that you can have is the Lord Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples in John 15, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For everything that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. That's a powerful statement. Jesus said, men, everything God has shared with me, everything God has told me, you're my friends, I've told you. In that same chapter of the Bible, John 15, it says, God, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He gave his life so that you and I might come into a relationship with God and we might be known as friends of God. I think that was in one of our songs this morning as well about friendship. And so the question for all of us is the question, are you a friend of God? Does God look at you and say, that's one of my friends? Not, that's someone who's perfect. Not, that's someone who always does the right thing. But that's one of my friends. They're my friends because of what Jesus did. They're my friends because Jesus laid down his life, and you can't do a greater thing than give your life for your friend. And in giving his life, Jesus took my sin upon himself so that when God looks at me, he can say, you're my friend. You see, you can't be a sinner and be a friend of God. It just doesn't work that way. You can be a friend of God when you have come by faith to the Lord Jesus and confessed your sin and received him as your Lord, your Savior, the Lord of your life. Now, you know one of the questions that I always ask you about this point is, what does that mean? What do we call that when Jesus takes my sin and I get his righteousness? Somebody tell me. Imputation. My sin is put on the shoulders of Jesus, is imputed to Jesus, just like Jesus was the one who sinned. And his righteousness is imputed to me, just like I'm the one who never sinned. Fair? Not at all. But God is not fair. God is merciful. And God sent Jesus so that he could take my sin. And if you will place your faith and trust in him today, he will take your sin and he will give you. The Bible says you'll be clothed in his righteousness. That's a very picturesque idea. It's like you take a robe that robe has righteousness written on it, and you put it on and you wrap yourself in it, and God sees nothing but the robe of the righteousness of Jesus. And by the way, Jesus took your robe all black and muddled and scarred and torn and dirty and ripped, and he put it on himself, and it's called sin. And he did that because no greater love has anyone than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend. God has a plan for your life. It involves every aspect of your life. We've centered on this idea of friendship because that was a big issue between David and Jonathan, and we're using David as the illustration, but it's good for all of us to consider our friendships and the people that we allow into our lives. Let the Spirit of God speak to you through the Word of God today as you think about what God wants for your life. Would you join me in prayer? Father, first, we confess that we can have no greater friend than Jesus. We confess that sometimes we've not been such a great friend, but Jesus has always been a faithful friend. Lord, in this area of friendships, help us to be careful about the friendships that we make, about the people that we allow into our lives. For they can impact us for good, but they can also impact us for evil. Lord, help us to be the kind of friends to others that they need. Help us to be the kind of friend that points people to Jesus. Thank you, Father, for calling us your friends, not because of anything we have done, not because of who we are, but because of Jesus only. In Christ's name, amen.